New data shows which services are engaging users the most as we all stay home more, and how Netflix, Disney Plus, Sling TV and others are adjusting to the new world order. Let's get started.
Week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me. And Colin, it's a crazy time right now with the virus.
It certainly is. Week two of being shut-ins here in California, and I know that that's affecting a lot of other people. I know things are getting a bit crazy in New York, so hopefully things are doing a little bit better today there. And of course, it's having ramifications across our industry, as we talked a little bit about last week. We're going to talk some more this week. And you've done some stuff to your site to sort of make a focal point for it, right, Will?
Yeah, we're recording here on Thursday. I just put up a new page in Video News IQ, which is the data analysis part of the Video News site. It's kind of like a sister site. And I'm calling it the Coronavirus Video Industry Research Hub. And really what had been happening, Colin, we sort of talked about this a little bit last week, but I was getting a lot of data from different companies around the industry that have really primary source data on what's happening right now with changes in consumption across different content types, changes in consumption across different platforms, and also doing primary research with viewers themselves and ad buyers and publications and content providers. So I just decided to try to pull it all together onto one page, which I'm going to continually update as I get new data and insights from colleagues in the industry. It's completely free. It's again called the Coronavirus Video Industry Research Hub. I'll include a link, and already have, I think, a dozen or more links to different research. So I really hope that it's a resource for the industry. It's a time when a lot of people are trying to sort of make their way in this uncharted territory, and it's very confusing. So hopefully being able to get access to all this great research and data in one easy place will help contribute to our colleagues and hopefully de-stress a little bit and lead to better decision-making.
Let's hope so, Will. That's great that you've done that. And talking of which, we're going to kick things off a little bit with some new data from Hub Entertainment Research. John Geidengack and crew, they really are able to turn around data quickly. I think they took this data that we're going to talk about here just late last week, and they're able to get it out really, really quickly. It might have been actually 10 days ago, 8 days ago. And they've got this out really quickly, and they're really talking a little bit, Will, here about the impacts already that are being felt from coronavirus, social distancing. And I want to call out the right at the top, they have this great graph. We'll link to the infographic from our site, so if you want to get the infographic, you can just come click on our site. We'll give you a link there. And they're basically saying that 58% of people now say that they are staying at home and only leave when necessary. And another 29% say they're spending more time at home and less time going out and doing things with other people. So, you know, that's virtually, 85-86% of people now are at least what we're calling now social distancing. And that's having a pretty big effect on their consumption of media. Of course, we've heard that a lot from Nielsen. Nielsen was estimating that people would consume 60% more. And so what the Hub crew did was they basically asked people how much more they're using their services. And pretty interesting data. They found that Netflix, Hulu, and Disney Plus users, about two-thirds of them say, two-thirds of users of those service say that they're using their service more. And more than a third say that they're using it a lot more. So that's pretty interesting that so many of the online video users say that they're using their services more. And interesting, there's quite a difference between that and the folks that are still watching broadcast TV and cable, because only 57% of those folks say they're using their service more. Although I will say they're a little bit less. About 30% of them say they're using it a lot more. And the outlier here, Will, and this is interesting again, is that Amazon Prime Video users, only 56% of them say they're using that service a little or a lot more. So a little bit of an outlier there. And this I thought was pretty interesting. I know there's a lot of discussion in the industry about how the stay-at-home orders that we're all living under, how that's impacting people. And certainly we believe that we're watching a lot more. And this I think, really underlines it. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, and I track a lot to TVOD, transactional VOD, that's renting movies and buying movies. Interestingly, people are renting movies and shows a lot more as well. That's 66% of people that do rent movies say that they're renting more. So it's not just traditional online providers that are doing well. It's the old TVOD model as well. So pretty interesting data, I think.
Yeah, I think the TVOD side is benefiting from the straight to digital releases.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the movie theaters are closed. So, for instance, when I've been going into Amazon recently this week, what I found pretty consistently is that they have something called Amazon Cinema, which they may have had before this whole stay-at-home thing started with the virus, and I just never noticed it. But now it's prominently displayed on every page in Prime Video when you're in the app, at least on Roku anyway. And the movie that they've been promoting most heavily is this movie Onward. So I think that that's probably a big driver of what we're seeing in this hub research data, don't you think?
Yeah, I absolutely will. And I should clarify, this was a question that was asked by people who say they are social distancing. So, but that's, of course, the vast majority of Americans, like, you know, 85% of the people in their survey say that they're doing that. So this is pretty interesting. And it actually led me, there were a couple of thoughts that I had that sort of spun out of this data, Will. And one of the things was, I was kind of mystified a little bit why so many people say that they're watching more Disney. Because there really isn't that much new content coming into the Disney service. I mean, they've got The Mandalorian and a couple of other things. But they really don't have a lot of other stuff coming in. And that really set me thinking, okay, so what's the impact on long term going forward? I mean, if we stay in lockdown for a month or 2 months or something, I wonder what the impact will be then to Disney, bearing in mind that they've not got much content coming in. And the problem for Disney is sort of compounded by the fact that they can't create anything, because a lot of the productions, and I think they said they had 50 scripted and 50 unscripted projects in development that are targeted for Disney Plus, well, they're pretty much all shut down. So they really can't deliver anything new into the service. So now you contrast that with Netflix. And there's a big contrast, because Netflix is continuing to drop a lot of new content into the service. A couple of quarter calls ago, Ted Sarandos said, he made the statement that they were dropping 35 new shows a week into the service. And he was actually talking earlier this week about this situation. And he said, what's happening now is we work pretty far ahead with delivering all of the episodes of our shows at once. So no disruption over the next few months. maybe later in the year, as physical production is not operational. And so the way I interpret this, and maybe it's wrong, but the way I interpret this is they're going to continue to drop 30 to 35 new shows a week throughout this period. And this is pretty amazing that they can continue to bring new content like this. And I think this gives them a pretty big advantage over Disney Plus, right, Will?
Well, I think to the extent that they already had a more well-developed pipeline of programs, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, as you said, they've made some quotes over the past week that they felt that at least, I think, for the next quarter, they were pretty well insulated from the slowdown in production that we're seeing. So they probably are in a more advantaged situation. Disney Plus, of course, got a big bump right out of the chute with The Mandalorian and all the marketing that they did. But you and I have talked about this before, that to the extent that they don't have follow-up high-profile programming, it was already going to be an issue for them. And there's been a lot of discussion about that. This seems to exacerbate things to some degree. I will say that, you know, last week when we talked about this, I made the point that I thought that it would be hard to be able to do post-production remotely. I've actually received a few emails this week from folks around the industry saying that it is actually a little bit more possible to do post-production remotely than I had thought it was. So that might be helping Netflix, it might help Disney a little bit, also maybe helping others. I mean, obviously you can't be doing actual live shoots, that there's no substitute for that. But if you've got some footage in the can, so to speak, it seems like post-production can continue rolling on to some degree, and that might help Disney. It's just a little hard to have great visibility into that.
It is, but you know, well, I've got to tell you, I think it's going to get pretty rough out there for Disney in the first and second quarters of this year. Well, I guess we're just nearing the end of the first quarter, but in the second quarter and onward. And the reason is not just because of Netflix and Netflix continuing to drop new content. You know, if we're watching a lot and people spend their time watching everything they want to watch in Disney Plus and nothing new is coming in, well, we've got a whole bunch of new content coming in from HBO Max is slated to launch in Q2. Peacock is slated to launch in Q2 as well. And, of course, Quibi. Quibi's about to release imminently. I think the release of that is a week or so away. So there's going to be a whole bunch of new content that suddenly becomes available that also consumers might be interested. And one of the things that actually Hub Research data showed about 2 months ago, I think, was that a lot of people are now in a situation where they have several services and will probably drop a service before they get a new one. Well, it is a great situation where Disney might actually find itself in a situation where people are starting to drop the service so that they can pick up an HBO Max or Peacock or a Quibi in the interim, to feed their desire to continue to watch new stuff. And so I think, as I say, I think it could get a little bit tough for Disney in Q2, Q3 of this year as people are hunting around for more new content.
Yeah, it is just, as you're pointing out, there are so many cross currents here. I think one thing that needs to be mentioned when you talk about these new services that we're planning to come to market in the April timeframe, or, you know, spring timeframe, HBO Max, Peacock, Quibi, a lot of the launch plans that they had for how they were going to make a splash in the market are now also up in the air. So certainly for Peacock is the biggest one, because they were going to really be leveraging the Olympics, and now the Olympics have been postponed. So that calls into question Peacock. Quibi, I think, and HBO Max, they have these related problems that we've talked in the past about, the belt tightening that's happening. Again, unemployment claims today were at the highest of all time. There are a lot of people that are tightening their belts that may just a month ago have been willing to experiment with picking up a Quibi or picking up a HBO Max. those people may not be quite as willing to do so, particularly Quibi, which, as we've said in the past, skews definitely to a younger target audience. I think they were claiming like an 18 to 34 type audience, or an 18 to 49. I think Quibi is actually more suited for like a teenage audience, more of like a TikTok-ish or YouTube type of competitor. But of course, Quibi is a subscription service. So it seems like that's one that's going to be pinched also pretty significantly. So a lot of uncertainties here, I would say, at this point, Colin. The only thing that I think is, I would just offer as a caveat, is that, you know, HBO announced a few days ago that they saw a 40% increase in viewership on HBO Now across all devices compared to its moving four-week average. And when I read that, I took that maybe a little bit that established services that already have some brand name awareness and already have shows that have some brand name awareness might be in a slightly advantaged position right now. Again, as compared with brand new services that people have never heard of, or even more so programs that people have never heard of, Quibi being, I think, an example of the latter in both cases.
Right. And in fact, interestingly, Will, Hub actually had a little bit to say about that. They asked this group, do you think you'll sign up for a new TV subscription service that you don't already have? And about just over half said no, 54% said no, 28% said yes, and 18% said that they weren't sure. Wonder how that will shift over time. With so many people hitting the unemployment lines, there's going to be a lot of belt tightening going on here. So I have a feeling that maybe we will see, what was your phrase? Service flipping or service spinning, I think you were calling it. I think we might see some service spinning going on, Will.
Yeah.
The other thing that I really I'm enjoying watching is some of the things that Sling are doing. Sling has introduced some free content that people can watch without actually even having to sign in or give a credit card or anything. They just announced, I think, a promotion where you can sign up and watch for free for
14 days,
which is great. I'm kind of surprised that I'm not seeing their competitors, people like Hulu Live and YouTube, doing something similar where they are beginning to bring some free content to consumers that are using their service, and also free content just to draw people towards their service during this time when people have plenty of time to watch. So it's kind of a surprise to me that more aren't doing what Sling's up to.
Yeah, my guess is we're going to see more services be creative along the lines of what you're just saying. I think Sling is maybe a little early to the market for doing that, but my hunch is we're going to see others do it, especially those that are coming in for the first time who had well laid out marketing plans that have now been thrown up in the air as a result of the virus. So there's a lot of research floating around right now, Colin. You know, one thing that we have not yet had a chance to talk about today, which we talked about a little bit last week, and I continue to think is really a focal point for so many people in the industry, is just this question about what happens as a result of live sports being completely suspended right now. Where does that consumption go, and where do the ad dollars that were behind all that live sports go, or do they not go anywhere? Do they basically just get banked for the second half or quasi permanently? And just on that point, I thought there was some interesting research this week from Altman Valandry, a consulting and research firm up here in the Boston area. They asked folks who are either daily or weekly or monthly sports viewers, what are they doing? How are they spending their time to fill up the time that they had formerly used for watching sports? And I thought, somewhat counterintuitively, reading was at the top of the list.
No way.
I kid you not. I'm looking at the graphic right now. 61% of monthly sports viewers said that they would focus on reading, and 57% of daily or weekly sports viewers said that reading would be the activity that would take up their time in lieu of being able to watch sports on TV. So there you have it.
Yeah, and that makes me think about something that Fox did this last week, Will, to try and fill up their schedule with something live. They actually broadcast an eNASCAR iRace. They basically got together like 35 NASCAR stars from the past and present and had them racing around a virtual track. And they broadcast this thing live. It's pretty amazing. And the thing that I really was surprised about, you know, I remember when they were doing that, thinking, well, how many people is that going to attract? Well, apparently it attracted 904,000 viewers. And okay, so, you know, that's a pretty good rating, but it was certainly the best rated show that FS1 had had since the start of the crisis. And, or should say, start of the sports shutdown. But it also actually compares pretty well with NASCAR racing itself, because last year, the average NASCAR race attracted an audience of about 3 million. So, you know, that's about a third of the audience showed up to watch these guys race virtual cars around a track. Pretty interesting.
I think that's very respectable, don't you?
I do too. And, you know, Fox was so impressed that they basically committed to the rest of the season. So if you're not doing anything Sunday, the next race is on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Check it out.
And it's free, I assume, free to viewers.
I assume it's, if you're subscribed to FS1, you can watch it there. I actually think it's on being broadcast on some Fox broadcast stations as well. So there's plenty of opportunity to watch it. You might be worth checking out if you're starving for any sort of live sport.
All right, Colin, I'm not sure I'm starving that badly, but we'll see what Saturday brings.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's entirely my cup of tea either, Will, but I've set it to record, so I'm definitely going to drop in and take a look.
Yeah. In the meantime, you and I are going to keep a close eye on all the different research that's and data that's coming out on how the market is changing. This is really, I think, something completely unprecedented for all of us, and certainly for you and me, is we've been tracking the market, and a lot of assumptions that we've had about how things were trending have really been upended.
Yeah. And the fascinating thing for me, Will, is this is obviously making some huge changes in our habits. How these changes are going to persist after things get back to normal. And my belief is this is going to be a watershed moment in the way we consume media, and I think it's going to bring permanent systemic change. So that's a subject for us to discuss over the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, Colin, in the meantime, stay well, and to all of our listeners, stay well also, and let's hope that this time next week brings better news, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Colin, take care, and thanks everyone for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News and Screen Media Podcast.